I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. 50 years ago today, an iconic moment at the Mexico City Olympics. U.S. sprinters Tommy Smith and John Carlos raised their fists in the air with their national anthem playing in the background. It was during a medal ceremony at the Olympic Stadium. Smith had won gold in the 200-meter race. Carlos got the bronze. That day in Mexico City, the world saw two athletes protesting racial and economic inequalities back home in the U.S. It had a big impact on the lives of many athletes who competed in the Mexico City Games. My colleague Esteban Butillos here at WGBH in Boston spoke with two members of the 1968 U.S. team to hear how they remember what happened 50 years ago.
Andrew Larkin's home in Northampton is a memorial to his glory days of rowing for Harvard. Two massive oars, inscribed with accomplishments like winning times against Yale and appearances in international races, hang over the door to his porch. His walls are adorned with black and white photos of young men sporting the Crimson's signature H on their chests. Larkin pulls out a record from 1968. The most important year in his athletic career.
This is my scrapbook that I've kept.
That year, Larkin and his Harvard teammates represented the United States at the Summer Olympics in Mexico City, where American runners John Carlos and Tommy Smith turned the world on its head by raising two fists in the air. 10 days before the opening ceremony, police and military troops in Mexico City opened fire on thousands of unarmed student protesters, killing hundreds. For Larkin and the Harvard crew, it was hard to stay focused just on college and rowing because there was so much turmoil in this country.
It was a time where you had to get involved, or at least we felt that. It's a little silly to be playing around in boats when the whole world is going to hell.
Heading into the Olympics, there was talk of black athletes sitting out of the games to protest racism. The Harvard crew, who were all white, wanted to help, so they drafted a letter that stated their support for the black Olympians and reached out to other athletes as well.
We didn't have any idea that we're going to do anything more audacious.
But not every member of the crew signed on to the letter. And the boycott? It never came to pass.
I had ran in the snow. I ran in Franklin Park in the cold in the morning. And if somebody tells you to boycott, you know, a lot of people gave up a lot of stuff for those events.
That's Leon Coleman, a hurdler for the 68 team from the South End who finished fourth in his race. He says many athletes also feared repercussions back home if they demonstrated. Coleman was in the stadium when Smith and Carlos came in first and third in the 200-meter final. When the Star-Spangled Banner came on over the stadium speakers, Smith and Carlos each raised a single black gloved fist in silence.
All of a sudden, we saw some black gloves, and we saw some fists go up. It was a shock for everybody, and people really was amazed about it.
The consequences were immediate. Smith and Carlos were both expelled from the Olympic Village and faced death threats upon coming home. Neither ran in the Olympics ever again. But they weren't the only ones who faced blowback. The president of the U.S. Olympic Committee sent a letter to Harvard's crew coach expressing his displeasure with the team's actions.
Serious intellectual degeneration has taken place in this once great university. If you and your several members of your crew are examples of the type of men that are within its walls, there's this hate mail with a letterhead.
Amira Rose Davis, a history professor at Penn State and a host of the feminist sports podcast Burn It All Down, says today, athletes have even more impact than they did in 68.
So I think as long as our society is obsessed with sports and pour as much money and time into it, it will always create a platform. These spaces have been kind of concocted to be this utopia free from politics, even though, you know, it's always been there.
Their actions in 68 inspired both admiration and hate for Smith and Carlos. And whether it's a raised fist or a bent knee, the emotional reactions to athletes protesting during the national anthem remain strong. For The World, Esteban Bustillos, Boston.
You can see that iconic photo from the 1968 Olympics again. Go to theworld.org. You'll find it there.